Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is your NBA Finals MVP. 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks in the Game 6 win over the Suns. And a shocker just seconds ago, he goes to grab the NBA Finals trophy off a table. Scott Foster elbows him out of the way, grabs it, holds it up over his head, and he is carried out by happy Milwaukee Bucks fans. I mean, it was some kind of scene, Mike Harmon. They were chanting, Foster, Foster, Foster. I mean, really. I mean, he's holding up the trophy with his number one finger up in the air. He's going around the arena right now. Giannis is holding him up with one hand. It is some kind of scene right now in Milwaukee.
At this point, would you rule that out? I mean, I believe in we've seen a lot of random stuff over the last couple of years. I think we would stipulate too, and during the pandemic and coming out. So Scott Foster trying to make the title his and the fans getting on board that. The estimated, I still don't know if I buy the estimate, but 65,000 people outside the arena, the 17,000 in. I know they had some tickets available earlier today. Get in was about $5,000 for those last seats if you wanted to, you know, become part of the celebration and grab yourself some confetti. But I still want to know what the line was that they had to bleep on Giannis. But the emotion flowing, just a fun scene. And now they have to figure out whether they can pay Bobby Portis. Let's go. The next offseason has begun. Come on.
Now, this is a situation which we talked a few minutes ago about how important it was for the NBA for Giannis to win, because they need the next stars to take the mantle and get the torch from LeBron James. Because the NBA is in a situation where they're kind of like the PGA Tour, in which when Tiger Woods plays and he's doing well, hey, guess what? Everybody's watching. Everybody's paying attention. When Tiger Woods doesn't play, it's still a little more difficult. You go through whatever tournament you want to talk about, whether it's the Open Championship or the U.S. Open, the Masters. If Tiger's injured, if he's not there, there's a difference. And there's a difference in the finals and the playoffs when LeBron James is playing and when LeBron James isn't. Now, the thing about the PGA Tour is Tiger Woods had a nice, real long career that's, you know, well over 20 years now, and hopefully he gets back to playing and is still somebody that stirs the drink after he gets past the injuries he had in his car accident. But LeBron James doesn't have much time left, and there's no guarantee that LeBron's going to make the finals again. The NBA is desperate for their next star. They are desperate for that guy. And Giannis does it because he brings you two different people, right? He brings you Shaquille O'Neal, the dominant big man who is able to make all kinds of plays, that is a physical beast, that it's a marvel to watch him dominate games. He also brings you the polarization of LeBron James, in which, boy, he's a big man, but it took him a while to get there. His team's lost in the NBA playoffs before. They finished first. Now he's won a title. Should he have two if they don't win next year? Is Giannis overrated? Is he going to need somebody else? Does he need more help? You know, that's the kind of guy they have. They kind of have a Shaq light and they have a LeBron light. All right, because obviously I can't just say Giannis is LeBron all of a sudden, but now you know this is the guy with the X on his back saying, you're the guy that's going to carry the league. You're the one. You're a little bit polarizing like LeBron is. You're a little bit like Shaq, but the fact that people like you and are happy to see you win, and the overwhelming support and attention that he's going to get coming off this, doesn't matter that it was a low-rated NBA Finals. Doesn't matter that it wasn't 2019, the pre-pandemic. Look, you had players who hadn't become real big superstars in the game. Giannis was an NBA superstar, right? Devin Booker and Chris Paul are NBA stars. Not many guys are LeBron that cut through, and he's a star in any, you know, he's a guy outside of the NBA, he's a big star. He's not, you know, these guys weren't James Harden or Kevin Durant. They weren't these players. But now Giannis has become that guy, especially when you don't just win, but you win with 50 points in the NBA Finals in the championship game. This is why it's now his league. This is why they have the guy that's going to carry them the next 10 years, him and Zion, right? It's now the era of these two big men in the NBA, with obviously Zion needing to get to a team that actually makes the playoffs next, because now clearly Giannis isn't going anywhere. But that's how bad the NBA needed this, because they need someone to say, okay, who's going to take this from LeBron? Who's going to be the guy that in a couple of years when LeBron's out of the league and he's making Space Jam 3 and he's bankrolling movies, it's, okay, can we really get behind Donovan Mitchell? Yeah, can we get behind Joel Embiid? Are these guys are basketball stars, right? We talk about it in baseball. How many cut-through baseball guys are there, right? There's only a couple, right? You need these guys that are larger than life, and now Giannis has become larger than life thanks to this victory.
Absolutely huge. Big personality. Big game at the rim, playing in the interior. They, you know, do the shot charts, and it looks like a Rorschach test, right, with all the blots in the paint, just dominant. And today he did it at the foul line, so something, well, Shaq didn't do. But, you know, otherwise the comparisons will be there. And he's a guy that I've already started seeing just in reading a couple of articles. What kind of ads are being served to me? Anything that Giannis is a pitch man for, suddenly his face is smiling back at me everywhere I look. So you've got that rolling. And he's got the old soul wisdom that he doles out in press conferences with the kids' enthusiasm. I mean, all of that comes together. I mean, how many of those clips from his rookie year did you see start rolling up, you know, when he had Reggie Evans, you know, saying, hey, eat a sandwich and stuff when he was first coming into the league, right? So, you know, you've just got all of that flow. And, yeah, you've got to find someone to pick up the torch. And maybe, you know, Steph Curry decides he wants to come back into the mix and the Warriors are good again with one or two roster moves. But for the moment, yeah. LeBron's big contribution was saying hi, haters, based on box office for Space Jam and showing up at game 5. Like, I'm there for my friend. Well, what about games 1 through 4? How about tonight? You know, you left him when he needed you most. You could have gone to Milwaukee. You could have supported your guy. Didn't see you there. So it's, and again, you know, you'll hear all of that in a very hyped up form tomorrow. But when we look at Giannis, I mean, there's just so much to like about him that you can push through for the league. It's good. Milwaukee wins. And now everybody's calling Damian Lillard saying, see, it can happen. Come on, man. Come on. You can keep pushing through. He's in year 8. You're only in year 9. Come on. It can still happen. And start selling him on what that next move needs to be and how to make it all happen. But it's the next man up. And for LeBron, whatever he's got left, and he was playing in an MVP form before the slide tackle that took out his ankle. So we'll see how he responds. Full off season, no excuses for how much time off they had this time around. And we'll see what the Lakers can build, because they've got to remake a roster to try to extend his reign, as it were. But for the league, yeah, this is everything right now. He's just a great story, just like we talked about with Shohei Ohtani a week ago. You come here and, you know, you may know a little of the language with Giannis, obviously more comfortable and more direct in trying to, you know, have the conversations in English. So maybe, you know, that endears him maybe a little bit more, and, you know, asking for the right word choice and all of those things of reporters, and there's a good rapport. And what's that going to do? It's going to build you some goodwill, you know, for baseball, for Shohei Ohtani. In time, you have that, especially if he keeps performing at a great level. Are they going to win? No, they're not going to win. They're the Angels. But, and I say that, you know, and all I can do is shrug my shoulders, because that's just the way it is. We've watched Mike Trout for a decade. No matter how great he is, they haven't been able to push through. But, you know, goggles on, dancing through the stands. I mean, everything you want. Again, the old soul, big-time performer with that little kid's heart. It's everything you want and a recipe for marketing and sales brilliance to come.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. The Bucks are your NBA champions. They win it 105-98 over Phoenix, a game in which they sort of pulled away in the third and fourth quarter, where Phoenix couldn't hit from the outside. You had another game that was a struggle for Devin Booker. He was 0-for-7 from three-point range. Again, Chris Paul had 26 points and 5 assists, but he really didn't control the game like he had previously in the NBA playoffs. And, you know, again, remember, I picked the Bucks to go to the finals in the preseason, right? And I picked them to win the title before the final started, Mike. So, I mean, look, I told you about the Bucks, man. My Bucks, I told you. But
well, we did talk about them when nobody else was. Right?
Exactly.
About a month left in the regular season, we did long soliloquies to the Bucks and Clippers just getting to operate because everybody was excited about the shiny new toy. So they were just able to go. Well, I mean, right, everybody was looking at Brooklyn and counting the number of games and minutes everybody was playing together. And the Sixers, was Ben Simmons and was Joel Embiid, were they finally going to get over? So Milwaukee just got to go to work. The only thing we worried about was whether in the playoffs we needed to fire Budenholzer, and now he'll get a contract extension.
Hey, okay, crazy a headline you would believe more if I told you on the air, like I said, you know, 5 minutes ago, hey, Giannis was grabbing the MVP trophy and then Scott Foster pulled it away from him and held it over his head, or if I said Mike Budenholzer has a 9 a.m. meeting with the Bucks tomorrow about his job status. Which one? Because you obviously not. He won the NBA title, but it sounds like it could be true. I don't know. Budenholzer, yeah, he didn't really make a lot of adjustments. Okay, I can see them firing him after they won the championship. Again, something that's not true, but could be true.
It could be. There's no question that it could be true. Look, I'm not surprised by anything. Most especially any of the tweets that come flowing down. They're grossly pathetic and predictable, as you would normally coming out of some of these discussions. But hey, appreciate the flow that we get.
Now, from the flip side of it,
yeah,
right? We got Rick Bucher coming up in a few minutes, and here's Giannis. We've talked about him and what he's accomplished. There's going to be a lot of blame placed for the Suns. Hey, Chris Paul blows a 2-0 lead in the finals. He's blown a 3-1 lead before in the playoffs. He's blown leads.
He's Doc Rivers on the court.
It's not my fault. Look, see, they blew that lead. Look, Chris blew that lead. Wasn't me. I'm sitting here at home. I'm drinking hot cocoa watching the game, okay? I didn't see when we blow leads, it's not me. It's Chris Paul. Look at Chris. It's his fault. It's all his fault. Everybody hates Chris. I watched that show. Everybody hates him.
But if I'm being honest, and I want to look back and say, okay, who's the guy I needed more from in the finals, right? Who's the player on the floor that I needed to see a little bit more from? It's not Chris Paul. It's Devin Booker. I need it. If Devin Booker is the star that everybody says he is, and look, Devin Booker is a terrific player. He was awful against the Clippers. He was volume shooting, so he still got his points, but he had an awful series against the Clippers, and they only won because Kawhi Leonard wasn't there. He was extremely uneven in the NBA Finals. He had a couple of big nights shooting the basketball in losses to Milwaukee, and he had some nights where he was just awful in losses, scoring 19 tonight, didn't hit a three. He had 10 points losing game 4 to Milwaukee. He shot 8 out of 21 in game 1. He had a very uneven NBA Finals, and he really had a bad last month overall in the playoffs. Yeah, he's not quite the star that people say he is yet, because if you're a big superstar, you don't have this many bad games. You don't struggle this many times. You don't struggle shooting the ball all the entire series against the Clippers and then having an uneven series like this against the Milwaukee Bucks. He's got a ways to go before suddenly he's the big superstar that he was made out to be. Look, we gave, and I say we, I mean the media and fans, gave the Suns everything when they made it to the conference finals, right? Look how good they are, right? Look, Chris Paul's in the conference finals for the first time in his career, and it was like, now he's the best point guard ever to live.
Sure.
It's like, well, hang on a second. Let's stop for a second there. Devin Booker, oh, he's the best. He's the new Kobe Bryant. He's not. Donovan Mitchell is. But hang on a second. Kobe never had series like this in the playoffs. He never had series where I can't make shots for 8 games in a row. He never had that. But we anointed them because Phoenix was a great story, and they were. And Chris Paul was a great story, and the ascension of Devin Booker was great. But we gave gave them too much. We put them on too much of a pedestal because clearly Chris Paul fell short because he got tired and Milwaukee figured out how to keep the clamps enough on him. And Devin Booker wasn't quite ready to be that guy. He was terrific early on in the playoffs, but as the spotlight got brighter, he got a little bit worse. So honestly, if I'm looking at the people to say, yeah, I needed more from you. Yes, I needed more from Chris Paul, but I need way more from Devin Booker than I got in the last two rounds.
Well, he did have finally a couple of fourth quarter assists tonight.
You got to make the mouth clicking sound better. You got to make it like.
Yeah, no, I need a little more. Yeah,
yeah, a little more of the mouth clicking sound.
Wet the whistle a little more.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, no, ineffective shooting the ball, a couple of bad turnovers late, and then the frustration set in once again. They were able to get into his head because let's call it what it is. They were letting a lot of contact go. They were uneven, and officiating's been uneven all year and throughout the playoffs and certainly this series as well. Sometimes you're getting the cheap touch foul. Sometimes you can get knocked your block knocked off and nobody cares. You have to roll with it. And the Suns, several times in this game, got visibly frustrated. I mean, Bobby Portis was a better sprint with the high step down the sideline where he got called for a technical. But you saw at least he went right back and re-engaged on defense, whereas the Suns, that took them out several possessions, both he and Chris Paul.
You know, you watched him get emotional at times and not ready for the moment, should have fouled out of the game last week. I mean, really, I needed more from Devin Booker than I needed from Chris Paul. All right, he's the star, right? He's the guy. You can't win an NBA title if you don't have your star, and he was a guy I needed more from. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike Gets Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, the Bucks, your NBA champions. We got Rick Bucher coming up in a few minutes. He'll break it all down for us, but wait till we tell you who's already the favorite to win the NBA title next year. Here's a hint. It ain't the Bucks. Oh, are the Bucks second? No, Bucks aren't second either. That's straight ahead. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. It's the Knicks. The Knicks are second. Except, no, they're not really.
No, they're not.
But are they really? No, they're not. But they could be, but they're not. But they could be. I mean, but they're not. Well, if they get Lillard, yeah, but they're not.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
It is Giannis's NBA world as the Bucks are your NBA champions. They beat the Phoenix Suns in six games, 105-98, 50 points for Giannis, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. The list of players in NBA Finals history with 50 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks in a game, Giannis, that is all. That is the list. A closeout game upon closeout games. I don't know that I can remember a guy having a closeout game in the finals like this, but you know who might know? The guy who's going to join us right now, Fox Sports 1 NBA insider extraordinaire, friend of the show. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. It is Rick Bucher. And Rick, I don't know, man. I'm thinking back. I've seen big closeout games, but 50 and 14 and 5 blocks and you score half your team's points. I don't know, man. Giannis might have the best one ever.
Yeah, we've seen Tim Duncan has had a couple of performances where he's done some of everything: playmaking, scoring, defending, rebounding, shot blocking, but not numbers to this level. And the Bucks needed every bit of it because Chris Middleton was wobbly. Drew Holiday was his usual playmaking self and good defensively, but couldn't hit shots. They needed Giannis to do exactly what he did. And I find it a little extraordinary. You know, everybody was, if you would ask me, who's the guy that is going to feel the pressure the most or might not deliver in the clutch, I would have expected Giannis to be high on that list, if not at the top. And it's one of the many things that he did to reverse our perception of who he is as a player and now as a champion.
All right. Now, when it comes to this series, and I give you a lot of credit because it was 2-0 Suns, and it looked like the Bucks were still trying to figure out how to defend players. What changed the most in your? I mean, other than Giannis scoring 50 a game. I mean, what changed the most from Game 2 to Game 6? You can say, you know, why the series turned? It was because of this.
Well, I think there was. I don't think it was just one thing. I mean, the first thing I would start with is Drew Holiday putting Drew Holiday on Chris Paul, and the job that Drew Holiday did, fighting over screens, not accepting switches, saying, I am going to make Chris Paul earn everything that he gets. And tonight was a perfect example of what Drew did. They put P.J. Tucker on him a little more than they had previously, which is why I think that Chris Paul, again, had 26, because he didn't have any problem getting around a P.J. Tucker. But he only had 5 assists and 3 turnovers. And that's basically, like, Chris Paul has been the king of the assist to turnover ratio. I'm going to make 4 or 5 great plays to set other guys up for every miscue that I have. And with Drew Holiday on him, he simply could not make plays for anybody else. He had to concentrate on not having Drew pick the ball, and then trying to get the airspace just to get his own shot. And to me, that really changed things for the Suns, because they didn't have a second playmaker to go to. Like, we've seen Devin Booker have to play in that role for years. And he'll get his point, and he'll get a couple assists, but it never leads to a winning result. And that's basically, that was cracking the code. And then creating matchups as often as possible where it was Giannis against DeAndre Ayton. Where if DeAndre Ayton wasn't against Brooke Lopez and being able to out-athletic Lopez, but suddenly it was DeAndre's suddenly faced with a guy the same size who's quicker and more athletic and has a better handle. Like, that is a shock to the system that I don't know that DeAndre Ayton ever got over.
Yeah, well, we could do more on him in a second. You got to riddle me this, though, Rick. I know there's not as many people counting, but there had to be a few. But how do you explain suddenly going 17 of 19 and having the ice in your veins in a closeout game? That's what I want to know from Giannis. The rest of it's all funny good. I love the family. I love the laughs and the goggles. 17 of 19, that will stand out forever.
So this is the thing I will say about his free throw shooting. And number one, he continued to take them. He continued to try to get to the line and shoot on the road, whether it was on the road or home. He did not change. He was aggressive getting there. And once you've been on the road and you have to deal with the crowd counting every single time you shoot, and then suddenly you don't have to deal with that. You're on your home floor. It makes a huge difference. It's a little bit like, you know, we see these videos of these guys that are like 88 years old, you know, in the gym by themselves at one end of the floor, and they make free throw after free throw, and somebody brings it up, and they're like, Jack, like, okay, but, you know, it's not that hard. The 90-year-old guy, the geriatric, is doing it. How come you can't do it? Well, the conditions can be different. And I think he went from a very hostile situation and fighting through it to ultimately a very comforting one and continuing to do it. And I would say this too. You know, people were saying he missed badly. Missing badly is when you miss left and right. Missing badly is what Pat Connaughton did with one of his 2 free throws at the end. I'm like, what was that? That's missing badly, when you miss left and right. When you miss long and short, that's what good shooters actually do. And his free throw form is not that – it's not that off. He couldn't do what he did tonight if it was. He simply needs to – there's some little adjustments he needs to make as far as not leaning back. You know, there's a couple little things he can do to be more consistent. But I'm not shocked, because he never shied away from trying to get to the line – and continue to work at it. And even on the road, with everything that Phoenix was throwing at him in Game 5, like, that to me was admirable, that because you're getting him in foul trouble. Like, Now you get to set your defense because you're at the free throw line. They got to take the ball. You know, at very best, they're taking it off the rim. If you miss, no fast breaks off of free throws. There's all sorts of dividends by simply just getting to the line. And he seemed to have that in mind, along with, you know what, I'm just going to keep shooting them until they start to go in. And then you go home and, you know, you're basically given like just a collective hug from the entire arena. You know what? You wind up with results like we got tonight.
Rick Bucher, our guest here, as we talk about the Bucks, NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. Who was more deserving of the NBA Finals MVP? Was it Giannis or was it Scott Foster?
Come on. Now, seriously, though, was there something that Scott Foster did tonight that you found particularly egregious? And I don't mean the referees collectively. I mean Scott Foster in particular.
You know, what you're going to look at, and what I'm sure Monty Williams is going to mention, however obliquely, is that we go to the free throw line 19 times. They had one guy go to the free throw line 19 times. He said it previously. It happened. He's going to say it again tonight if he hasn't already, and that's going to be the big thing. Here's another game Chris Paul lost with Scott Foster. I mean, it's all going to keep going where you can say, all right, well, what can we point to? You can point to 13 games in a row he's lost. You can point to, you know, the back and forth. He almost got into it with him, and for some reason Bobby Portis jumped in front and stopped him from getting a technical, which I don't know why he did that. That's kind of what's going to be said about the game tonight.
Well, I mean, it can be said, but the truth of the matter is that the vast majority of shots taken were by Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Devin Booker's the great hole in his game is that he does not get to the free throw line. For a guy who shoots as much as he does not know how to draw contact. That's one of the issues with the mid-range game is that it's really hard. There's ways to get guys to run into you. Chris Paul's pretty good at not necessarily shooting, but getting them on his back. But for the most part, like the majority of their shots and the majority of their offense went to guys who are jump shooters, who are mid-range jump shooters. Giannis Antetokounmpo took the most shots for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he was incredibly aggressive at attacking the rim or finishing inside. And that's where you're going to draw more contact. So I just think it's a function. I mean, it would be one thing if, like, you know, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton were taking a ton of free throws. Then I'd raise a question, but Holiday had two, Middleton had four. Basically drew even. Chris Paul and Devin Booker collectively took more free throws than the backcourt of the Milwaukee Bucks. The big difference maker is Giannis, and DeAndre Ayton can't attack off the dribble and finish inside the way Giannis can. Maybe one day he will, but he can't. So I look at that disparity. And I think it's a function of how the Bucks played versus how the Suns played and who was taking their shots, as opposed to the whistle was somehow favoring Milwaukee.
Going 11 for 41 in the series from three-point range, combined with, as you said, not being able to get to the line consistently, Rick, 10 free throws in game one, and then in game four, he got there nine times, just eight times combined last two games out. But there were a number of points in this game where it just looked like, the game overall was just, the first quarter was awful. That was a painful watch, and people were washing their eyes out. But as it went on, he just kept getting seemingly frustrated, and then he'd be out for sequences to where he just looked out of place, to where the emotions looked like they ran over for him more so than, looking at Ayton, we have already talked about him quite a bit. But for Booker, it seemed the emotions really took over for him here in game six.
Well, no question. But Devin has always been an emotional player and not in a good way. There's too much Russell Westbrook in him. It always feels like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And that might work in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you're just expending way too much energy. The game is already at a fever pitch and emotions are running high. So then if you escalate that, or when things get tense, your emotions go up another level, that's not good. That doesn't lend itself to consistency or efficiency. And that's been my number one thing with Devin, is that I think he's a fabulous shooter. I think he is an amazing shot maker, but his game has to mature in a multitude of ways. For all the talent that he has, there's a reason that this team never went to the playoffs, never was in serious consideration for making the playoffs until Chris Paul came to town. Ricky Rubio helped last year, and it was a steadying hand. But as long as they were playing, there was a steady dose of playing through Devin Booker. He's emotionally, he's too erratic. And if you look at his decisions, aside from that, he had 5 assists, 6 turnovers. I mean, his assist to turnover ratio is as bad as Chris Paul's is normally good. The reason that, I mean, even his shot selection is not all that great. We look past it because he's such a great shot maker that he makes a lot of them. But there are easier ways to score, either for him or teammates, that he does not see or recognize or take advantage of. And until he does that, then it's going to be a huge stumbling block for the Suns, because you want to give the ball to a guy who can shoot the way he can. But you also need a guy who is going to make better decisions and play a more mature game than Devin Booker has demonstrated he's capable of as of right now.
You can follow him on Twitter, @RickBuecher. That is @RickBuecher. Fox Sports 1, NBA Insider, of course, his book Rebound with Brian Grant. Pick it up, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to buy books, it is there. Rick, as always, we appreciate it. And if later on tonight the Knicks trade for Damian Lillard, we're going to call you back.
That sounds good. I will I will not have to set an alarm for that.
No, it'll be you and Matt Buecher who will be very upset about that. I understand this, but if it happens, we're calling you.
Oh, that's fine. Matt Buecher, though.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk
to you. Bye, Rick.
Awesome stuff there from Rick Buecher. Nobody breaks it down like him as far as the reasoning behind what happened, what he saw during the series. It was really an incredible comeback by the Bucks, down 2-0 to do this. Quite honestly, look, the NBA Finals is just the preliminary event, because coming up in an hour, we have the United States soccer team, the women playing their first match against Sweden.
Little later.
One more thing, guys?
A.M. Pacific.
Since we're talking Olympics.
Oh. Sorry, wait a minute. Ralph has to keep talking.
Yeah, no. Ahead, this just happened. Zach Levine has cleared health and safety protocols and will join the team in Tokyo on Thursday.
USA.
So since we're talking Olympics, we've got more.
There you go.
So.
Ralph way Irvin adding value. That's the Mike Harmon line. That is a Ralph Irvin line.
Ralph Irvin.
Value.
Wait, what?
Ralph got his own drop now.
Ralph Irvin.
He's pressing his own drops. Play my drop. Play my drop. I thought the U.S. women were playing at 1:30 East Coast time. It's 1:30 West Coast.
4:30 Eastern. Oh. So you can get almost a half night's sleep.
Yeah, I'm not going to be up for that one.
So you setting an alarm? I go, do I have to? otherwise we can record it and pretend it's new. She goes, no, but you'll be on Twitter and you'll screw it up. I go, you're right.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, thanks to Rick Buecher for stopping by. But the odds for next season's NBA championship are already up. Bucks are the favorites, right? No, they're third. Oh, it must be the Suns. No, they're fifth. Wait till we tell you who the favorite is. Wait till we tell you who's fourth. That's coming up next right here, Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up in 10 minutes, boy, do we have the classiest move of the NBA Finals by far. It's not even close. Classiest move of the NBA playoffs and the finals. But while we're congratulating the Milwaukee Bucks, talking about what's next for the Suns, why they fell short, the 2021-22 NBA championship odds have just come out. Who are the favorites? It is not the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are third. It's not the Phoenix Suns. They are fifth. Your favorites at plus 230 are the Brooklyn Nets. If the Nets were healthy, likely the NBA playoffs goes a little bit differently. If Kevin Durant takes one baby step back, likely the Bucks don't go on to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, and it's the Nets. But still, the Nets are the favorite, followed by the Lakers at plus 400. It goes Nets, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors at plus 1,000, followed by the Suns. Those are your five favorites in order: Nets, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Suns. Now, look, I get it for the Nets and the Lakers. I understand. Look, you saw injuries decimate these teams and the superstar that they have on these teams. Yes, they're better teams going into next season healthier than the Bucks are. Look, we told you the Bucks and the Suns, this is a moment in time for them. As their rosters are constructed right now, these are not teams that are going to go dominate next year and win the NBA title and get back. They made it as far as they did. They had favorable draws in the playoffs. There were a lot of stars who were injured, and likely if one or two stars aren't injured, we have different teams in the final. So I understand this part of it. So I get Nets, I get Lakers, and I get the Bucks third, I get Suns. The Warriors at four, I mean, really?
Sure.
I get what they're doing is they're couching it because in case the Warriors make a big trade for somebody, mm-hmm. they package Wiseman in the first round pick there. But, I mean, if you're talking about what the Warriors could be, I give Steph Curry a better chance of winning a title if he changes a team than if he sticks on the Golden State Warriors. I mean, because they got to go out and make some kind of aggressive trade. And I get this is a protective thing because if they go and get somebody, well, suddenly the odds on the Warriors are going to go through the roof with Klay Thompson coming back here. But right now, the Warriors team, man, I'll give Steph a better chance if he goes someplace else than if he stays with Golden State.
Yeah, no, I think that one's a little bit of the, all right, let's sucker you into making some wagers, right? And at 12 to 1, you know, not getting yourself too far ahead of the game. Because, look, everybody knows that there's going to be a move. It's not just going to be a same rehash of what is. And Klay Thompson coming back sure as hell isn't putting you in at 12 to 1. No, the assumption is that somebody is out there. Somebody is going to arrive. It's like Captain Marvel comes in out of the blue. It's like, where have you been? Well, there's other, you know, worlds that don't have you. It's the same thing here. So the expectation is that somebody comes. Likewise, the Lakers. Lakers have two guys right now.
Yeah, well, they don't have a lot of guys under contract. You know, that's
no, they don't have, right, but that's just it. There's a lot of shuffling that's going to happen there. So the fact that they're the favorite out of the West is, all right, you got LeBron and AD, assuming they're both healthy through a full stretch and a full playoff run. And what else? Dot, dot, dot. A roster still to be remade. So, yeah, it's, again, hedging bets, and the assumption is they're not resting on their laurels. As for the Nets, You assuming all three of those guys, you still have plenty of games left in your over-under of 50 before we get anywhere close to that, buddy. We may go the next regular season before we hit that. We might be a long past Christmas time. What are we at, 30? Okay, cool.
Are you kidding? I'm getting into the season after next with that, with 50 games. I'm going to get through next year easy. Are you kidding? Seven games. So let's play. They play double the time. Okay, so they play 14 games together next year. They have the playoffs. I'm into next season, man. I'm playing with everybody else's money on that over-under bet. Are you kidding? Oh, I'm all set. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. There are your top five favorites for next year. I get the Nets. I get the Lakers. Boy, Golden State, man, I get that's protective. But Steph Curry, if you really want to win, got to go someplace else. Knicks, got to go someplace else. 877-99 on Fox. Coming up next, hey, the classiest move of the postseason by far. This is Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, as we celebrate the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship. They beat the Phoenix Suns 105-98. Giannis scores 50. He goes from being just an NBA star to an NBA legend and a guy who's a big star outside the NBA, what the NBA needed the most. This is Fox.